Anna wants me? Now, the teacher said, to each his own. Teensel said that was fine or whatever, but Indiana wants me? He's got to be kidding. I wasn't close friends with Teensel, no one was. But on hearing his disapproval, I decided that maybe my choice wasn't all it was cracked up to be. I thought I'd enjoyed it as a grim little narrative, the confession of a man who was wanted for murder in the exotic Midwest. The singer's voice was tinged with regret, more country than pop, and that, too, I liked, or thought I had. At the end of the song, the authorities pull up, and you could hear them in the background shouting into their megaphones, "This is the police! You are surrounded! Give yourself up!" It was, I thought, a classy touch. The first time I heard it, I was hooked, and then I bought the 45 and played it over and over again. The song satisfied me on every level, but if nobody else liked it, I guess that I didn't either. What I meant, I said, is that I don't like Indiana Wants Me. My sister does. She plays it all the time, but me, I can't stand it. Then what do you like? The teacher asked. And I saw the same expression our cat had when torturing a mole. I looked at Teensel, who'd named something by the Rolling Stones, and then at the girl across the aisle who liked the Carpenters. Everything, I announced. I like everything. Everything but Indiana Wants Me? Yes, I said, everything but that. That evening, alone in my room, I found I was too ashamed to listen to my record or even look at it, really. It reminded me of my wretched eagerness to please and would now have to be banished, hidden in the closet and then thrown away. This was a loss, but not a total one, as at least I had learned a lesson. From this point on, whenever someone asked my opinion, I would turn the question around and then proceed accordingly. If the person I was with loved game shows and Deep Purple, then so would I. And if I was caught contradicting myself, watching or listening to something I'd sworn to have hated, I would claim to be doing research, or to be enjoying the thing for its very badness. You could do this, I learned, and people would forgive you, consider you interesting even. The downside was that it led to crummy gifts, Mitch Miller records, heads made from coconuts, campy stuff thought to be a hoot, or, if it was extra lame, a hoot and a half. My own taste became secretive, and then hazy. If everyone I knew could agree on the same thing, I might have settled into a particular genre, but my friends were all over the place, and so opinionated. At college in the mountains of North Carolina, I claimed to love bluegrass and the Prophet. Then on weekends, I'd come home to the Andrews sisters and back issues of wrestling magazines. Another college, a better one in Ohio, and I was all for Huey Newton, vegetarian meatloaf, Muddy Waters. After dropping out, I fell in with a group of avant-gardists. That's what we called ourselves, and very seriously. Now came records that sounded as if they had ended, the thop, thop, thop of a needle having run its course. I pretended to like plays with no plots, books in which characters had no names, no faces, no reason to get out of bed. Nothing changed until I left North Carolina and moved to Odell, Oregon, where I had no friends and no hopes of making any. There was a small public library in the neighboring town, and on my first visit I picked up a neglected copy of Ulysses, hoping it might impress the woman behind the checkout desk. She stamped the card, and when I saw that she was not going to react one way or the other, I returned to the stacks in search of a second book. It could be anything I wanted, but what was that exactly? Having spent my life trying to fit the will of others, I was unable to distinguish between what I enjoyed and what I thought I should enjoy. Like a lot of beginning readers, I wanted a mirror. The story of a 21-year-old apple picker who lived in a trailer would have been perfect, but this was a small library. And when I found nothing that reflected me precisely, I broadened my category and defined myself as a wayfarer. This left me with Ulysses and The Odyssey, neither of which I actually read. On my next trip to the library, I defined myself as just a guy and picked up something a bit more inviting. Babbitt, I think it was. Sinclair Lewis led to Sherwood Anderson and other names I vaguely recalled from high school. John Steinbeck, Richard Wright, D.H. Lawrence. Authors who weren't so bad as long as you didn't have to write papers about them. After a bout of Ernest Hemingway, I once again broadened my definition.